Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 14th, 2025, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book, the chapter Working with Others, and today we are on page 90, the third paragraph, Sometimes It Is Wise to Wait, through to If He Cares to See You. Today's readers are Alex K., who will read the text, Robin P., A Vision for You, and Luann C. is our backup. Larry G. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Sunday, April 12th, the special edition, 22,340. And for Monday, April 14th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 22,341. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Liz S. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. This is Liz S. from Portland, Oregon, a recovered compulsive eater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Liz. And we're now going to pop over to Germany and have Lilon P. read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Lilon.
Thanks, Susan. Lilon P. in Berlin, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our root purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Sorry, took a sip of water. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you, Leilan. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And I think somebody is unmuted right now. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today, turn to page 90. We're continuing on in working with others, and we're going to read and comment on the third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge through to if he cares to see you. And I'm now going to invite Alex Kay to start reading and share on this paragraph with us. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he is very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval. Then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good, and if he would go to any extreme to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as part of his own recovery, try to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. Well, I know that when I'm caught up in active compulsive eating, I'm not open to hearing anything else. I'm on a mission to get my fix. I think I found my solution in the food, so I'm not ready to accept help. I'd instantly reject anyone who approached me offering help. After a binge, I'm full of remorse and self-condemnation, hopelessness. I can think more clearly and see my way isn't working. It only causes me pain. So in that state, I'm more willing to ask for help. I'm open to hearing another way. I know I need a better way than any way I can come up with on my own. The pain of the disease gives me the gift of desperation, and then I know I need help and I want help. When a compulsive eater, fellow compulsive eater, asks me for help or asks me how I got where I am, I can share my story, which I think is one of great hope. I was such a hopeless, helpless, daily binger starver for years, and I couldn't imagine my life changing. Nothing I ever tried worked for long. I always went back to compulsive eating, which led to feeling so demoralized and full of despair. I couldn't see a way out of that nightmare. Food was my higher power, even though it was killing me. Today I've been abstinent for some years, and I have peace with food. I'm not a slave to the food like I was. The obsession and compulsion have been removed, and I rely on my program and my higher power instead of relying on food. And in the beginning, I didn't believe in God or a higher power, and I didn't even want to hear about it. Yet today I have a strong connection with my true, loving, compassionate higher power, who only wants the best for me and doesn't hurt me like food does. And I'm always glad to share about these miraculous transformations in my life with my fellows. It's evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. And it's a message that there is hope, there is a solution. It's possible to live and live happy. I think if it can happen for me, it can happen for anybody. Sharing my story reminds me where I came from and how much better my life is now, and may perhaps inspire a suffering compulsive eater to keep coming back. And carrying the message strengthens my recovery. I'm always grateful for an opportunity to pass on some of what's so generously been given to me. Because of this program and my higher power today, I really have a life beyond my wildest dreams.
That's time.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much. That was Alex K. in California. All right. So before we go to the next part of the meeting, a little reminder on the paragraph we're talking about today, page 90 in Working with Others, third paragraph, sometimes it is wise to wait through to if he cares to see you. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I need from you is your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. All right, I'm ready.
Bruce E.
Thank you, Bruce. Claire, I know you're in Florida. Claire, good morning. Yep, got you. Morning. Who else? Anyone else with the initial E? Or are we going to another letter in the alphabet?
Deborah G.
Thank you, Deborah, and you're in Arizona. Everyone's very quiet this morning. All right, well, so as not to waste time, we'll start with this group. I have Bruce E., Claire E., and Deborah G. So if everyone other than Bruce can mute the line. Thank you, Bruce.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, very much. Thanks for everybody on the line. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida. And let me see if I can come up with some good $1.50 preaching here. That's what my sponsor always used to say. That's good $1.50 preaching. Yeah. Okay, sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. Okay, why is that? Well, because it was the food that brought me into recovery. You know, it was the food that caused me to get the willingness to quit trusting myself and trusting on you guys in a power greater than myself. You know, it was the food that brought me around. It was the food beat me up to the point where I was willing to look for help, which I did, and then I got in the program. So that's what I get out of that. Wait till he goes on a binge. In other words, coming out of that binge, he's going to be ready to listen or talk or seek a power greater himself or the group. Then it says here, don't deal with him when he is very drunk. So, yeah, the word I heard was, you go downtown in the city you live in, go to a park bench, and there's somebody sleeping on a park bench, you know. Don't plan on waking him up and then start telling him why he needs to get off alcohol, you know, or why he needs to get sober, you know. In other words, when the person is really drunk, they're so drunk they can't hear you, you know. I know when I used to, you know, binge, man, I'd be so full of sugar, I couldn't hear anybody. I'd be drunk, you know, I was drunk all the time, you know, from the sugar. And so then it goes on to say, a family or friend wants to, before they would go in the extreme. Oh, yeah, if he would go to any extreme to do so. And I've said that to a few people. I'd like to remember to try to say that to everybody I'm trying to help. Are you willing to go to any extreme? That means doing the work. You know, there's a lot of work in this thing in the beginning, you know, a lot of work. Work now, too, but work in the beginning, for sure. You know, I was working when I first, the first 2 weeks, I was just all day long just reading, going on meetings, talking to my sponsor, and scared to death. First, one day I'd think he was going to fire me. The next day I thought I was going to quit. Next day I thought he was going to fire me. Next day I thought he was going to quit.
That's time, Bruce.
Oh, thank you very much, and I pass.
And that was Bruce E. in Florida. Next, we're going to the UK. Good morning, Claire. Claire E.
Morning, Susan. Morning, everybody. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in Cornwall in the UK. Yeah, this paragraph, there's a few things that come up for me when I read this. You know, firstly, I guess, is that how many times I've tried to persuade people, you know, tried to sell OA, tried to, you know, sort of push, I suppose, you know, sort of feel so passionately about it that I'm trying to sort of persuade them to give it a go. And, you know, it has repeatedly been revealed to me with my illness and also from experience working with others that food is the real persuader. You know, and it goes on in a few paragraphs time. We're going to hear about how, you know, call on your man when jittery or depressed, you know. And I know for myself, you know, going back to the doctor's opinion, when I'm in that paragraph where it talks about, you know, we're irritable, restless, discontent, I want the sense of ease and comfort from food, I take a few bites, I pass through the well-known series of the spree, and then I emerge remorseful. And what happened for me when I was in the food and binging is after the remorseful, after the promises to myself, after the beating myself up, then comes in my illness going, well, you know, other people have asthma. You're just going to have to live with it. You know, this is your thing. This is bulimia. You know, well, tell you what, next week I'll give it a go. I'll go back to OA. You know, well, it's not that big a deal. You know, other people have other things. And that's the problem, is that my denial comes in very quickly after I feel desperate and remorseful. And so, you know, really, it is wise, you know, and I was very, very lucky when I was 12-stepped 7 years ago back into this fellowship after a period out. The girl that rang me, it was just God's timing. I had literally just come off a binge and I was on my knees and I felt very desperate. And this lady rang me and I remember her saying, are you willing to go to any lengths to get well? And at that moment in time, I would have done anything. You know, I was so desperate and I was so, it felt like the lifeline it proved to be. It felt like somebody was reaching out and throwing me a life jacket. And like I'm sure, I think you say it, Susan, you know, I wasn't going to complain that the life jacket was the wrong colour. I would just do anything. It was like, you know, if she said jump, I'd say how high. In fact, she told me what to eat the first few weeks. And I remember someone saying to me, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be told what to eat by my sponsor. And I remember saying just like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. And that's the point I needed to get to be receptive. And, you know, another day or two, who knows, I may well have come up with my next good plan of how I was going to fix myself or not cared about it. And the other thing I just wanted to say is, you know, the other thing that came to me as we were reading this paragraph today is you should be described to him as, and I don't suppose we are described by the family very much anymore, but, you know, I should make it clear to people that, you know, it is part of my own recovery. And there's a beautiful description on page 19 about what a sponsor should and shouldn't be. You know, there's no lectures to be endured, no fees to be paid, no access to grind. You know, I am doing this as part of my own recovery, and I'm really happy to help you if you would like me to. You know, that's the sort of attitude I need to share my own experience. Thank you. And my own experience, strength and hope, rather than shoving it down someone's throat. I will leave it there, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Claire E. in the UK. Next, we're going to Arizona. Good morning, Deborah G.
Oh, good morning, Susan, and thank you so much for your service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad that you're here. And thank you all for your share so far, 12-step in me. You know, I remember, I had gone to OA, different types of OA, and for so many years, you know, and I really wasn't surrendered. And then I had visions, and I learned about an alcoholic food that I just would not put down. I kept playing with it, you know, so it was salt, Himalayan, sea salt, all these ways of trying to control. And it wasn't until I was in a Herb K workshop, I was in the middle of the workshop, and I woke up and I saw a fork in one hand and a salt shaker in the other, and I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. I wasn't even tasting the food. And I was doing that and doing that and doing that. And I put it down and I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I got myself a vision sponsor. She took me through the steps quickly so I could be relieved, have a transformation, relieved of the suffering. And that was the amazing grace. It got lifted by those beautiful 12 steps. So now with others, all I have is experience, strength, and hope. And I can share that story. I'm so grateful for that story because I can share that with other people, no matter where they're at, if they're binging or they're still on the fence or wherever they're at. You know, just meet them where they're at and share that, and then let them make the decision, just like I made the decision after suffering long enough. And I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you all. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. in Arizona. All right, so before I take the next lineup of names, just a reminder, that we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences. And again, page 90, third paragraph, sometimes it is wise to wait, through to if he cares to see you, is the paragraph we've read and we are now commenting on. So if you would like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from.
Gary K, California.
Gary, I think you said K in California.
Yes.
Great. It was a lady.
Denise M in North Carolina.
Thank you, Denise. I want to unmute if you'd like to share. If you'd give me your name. Very quiet group this Monday morning. Anyone else like to join this second lineup?
Beth K.
Beth K. And Beth, where are you calling from?
Sacramento, California.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, we'll pause there. I have Gary K., Denise M., and Beth K. So Gary K. in California, if you could start us off and if everybody else could mute their line. Thank you, Gary.
All right, thank you all. Gary Kay here in California. This section of the big book is very valuable to me right now. I'm glad we're on it because I've been in program a long time, and my issue right now is have one of my better friends who, you
know. Oh, Gary, we can't hear you. Did you mute yourself by mistake? Gary, so I want to unmute.
Yes, I guess I did.
No worries. Go ahead.
I'm out of time. No, but anyways, I really appreciate this this passage because I have a friend that we've been in OA a long time, and he's relapsed big time. And we had lunch the other day, and for me, it's really hard because he pretty much has succumbed to the disease, even though he's had, like, you know, major surgeries, open hearts and carotids and stuff done. And he's an older fellow like me too. So, and when we were at lunch, it pretty much was like he has given up, that this is it, you know, the food's going to take them down. He didn't say those exact words, but that's what I heard. So the good part about this passage is because I sent him a text, a gentle text, and telling him I loved him and stuff, and I let it go at that. And I have not heard back from him, and I just need to keep hearing this passage because you don't know how hard it is for me not to call him up and say, let's go, man. Let's at least get this going. I sponsored you before, and it worked. And so so the best I can do right now is just, you know, we stay in touch anyways, just call them, connect with them, and not even talk about the food necessarily, and then just pray for them. So that's all I got. I'm glad you can hear me now. And thank you very much for being there, everybody.
Thank you so much, Gary K. in California. Next, we have Denise M. in North Carolina. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. I love this section that we're reading now, this paragraph we're reading. I'm thinking about my own journey. I am a grateful recovered compulsive eater, just recently recovered and so grateful. And I think the saying timing is everything is really important. I'm going to say for myself because absolutely when I was binging, that at the binging point, committed to binging, someone coming to me I would not have been receptive. When I finally, I mean, I think I've hit many bottoms, but when I hit a real, really scary bottom where I thought I'm going to die probably very soon from this, from a stroke or a heart attack, you know, that was when I came to not Vision for You, but to a 12-step program. And one thing I did right after that night while I was just finishing a binge of like multiple pounds of candy was I took out my phone and I made a video of myself. I thought about if I was drunk and someone saw me on the ground and they videoed me, okay? But this was me videoing me. My face is red, tears all over my face, hair askew, the whole bit. And I talked about how I felt after going through this binge. And I used that video to help me many times when I would be really wanting to go for the food as one more way. I feel like I had selective amnesia. So I have someone I want to approach. I'm going to wait to after Easter when I think she'll be eating a lot, and maybe that will be the time to approach her. Anyway, thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Denise M. in North Carolina. Next, we have Beth K. in Sacramento, California. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning, everyone.
Beth, we heard you, and now we can't hear you. Beth, press star one, or perhaps you hit mute by mistake on your phone. Beth, star one. Perhaps something happened with Beth's line. All right, I'm ready to take more names. And Beth, if you're dialing back in, please just let me know and we'll go to you next. Who else would like to share this morning if this is your third day?
Chris S. in California.
Chris S. Thank you, Chris. And then I heard, is that you, Jody E.? Hi.
Yes.
Thank you. Great. Good morning. And who else would like to join Chris and Jody?
Lori T., California.
Thank you, Lori. Okay, we're going with a California group here. Anyone else?
Laura W. in Chicago.
Hi, Laura. Thank you. And Beth K., have you been able to get back on the line?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Oh, great. Yes, you go ahead first, Beth, and then we'll go to Chris S., Jody E., Laurie T., and Laura W. No worries, Beth. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm Beth K. I'm a compulsive overeater and really grateful to be here today and for your loving patience. This passage is particularly important for me right now as I am new to visions and being recovered and approaching sponsorship in a new and deeper way, that it is my mission to be helpful to others. And having been in recovery programs for, you know, over 25 years, I've had experience sponsoring, but somehow the work that we do here on the phone every morning with my sponsor, these close readings of these passages, has changed how I approach being a sponsor. And I can't say how grateful I am for it, because I no longer feel it as a burden, as a difficulty, as something that's hard to do or difficult to manage, or it's just part of my primary purpose. And when that shift occurred, I just became willing in a new way. And I suddenly felt like, well, I don't have all the answers, but I can share what I've done with someone, because it is working. And the other thing I've discovered, sort of like what it's talking about in this chapter, is that when someone calls and they say they need a sponsor, and, you know, I make a plan to sit with them, and I give them information exactly how it was given to me, and but then either they don't do it, or they spend a lot of time explaining why they can't do it. I used to feel like I had to convince someone, you know, and now it suddenly is like, that's okay. Maybe you just need another sponsor, you know, make a few more calls. And it's become, I don't know, I feel very blessed to have found Vision for You. And I found it because someone else had just finished doing her steps this way. And I heard her talking, and I was so desperate, because I'd been trying to manage the food in the rooms for 2 years, and just, I was on my knees, and I heard this person, and it was just amazing. And I want to say thank you to you all for being here today. Thanks.
Thank you, Beth, and we're glad you made it back. Next, we're staying in California. Good morning, Chris S.
Hello, Chris, compulsive overeater. I did not know that this meeting also took place at 7 a.m. California time. I only thought it happened on 4 a.m. California time. So I'm so happy that I found out that this meeting takes place 7 a.m. That's great. And Susan, it's great to hear your voice. Yesterday, I got to take a sponsee's fit step for the first time for me as a sponsor. And this reading is very apropos to this man, because about a year ago, a little over a year ago, we started working together, and he just wasn't willing. And I could do was just take the phone call and try to give him my experience, but there was nothing I could say or do until he had his last binge and he gave up and surrendered. And to be working with him for the last year and like really working in the book and really seeing him change his ways and have the physical recovery, but also that emotional and mental, you know, stabilization and recovery, has really been beautiful. And, you know, if you had told me, you know, just a year ago that I would get something out of helping someone else, I would have said, you're out of your mind. That's just not going to happen. I know for me that there are a lot of people in my life outside of program that could maybe possibly use program. And they have asked me, because I've had a lot of physical recovery, what I've done. And when I've told them what I do, I've been very open. I don't try to preach OA, but I don't hide it. If someone asks, I tell them what I do. And they've all just been like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And God bless them that they know that they couldn't do it. But I, like that was shared before, when I got here,
Chris,
suggested
we lost you
what
there
I
for
eat.
A second. There you are.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, so I didn't care what was told to me. I didn't care what was suggested by my sponsor. I just did whatever I was told to do because I really had given up, and I was tired of how I was living. So I am I relate to this paragraph for myself and for seeing other people. And thank you for letting me share. And I'm very happy that I found out that this goes on at 7 a.m. Thank you.
Sorry, we held out on you, Chris. Okay, good morning, Jody E. in California. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., gratefully, very gratefully recovered in California. So grateful. I really liked what I heard about this being my primary purpose. Just as this is our primary purpose as a group, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. This is my personal primary purpose as a compulsive overeater. Why would God put me through the disease of an eating disorder if not to enable me to recover and then to help someone else? I do see that is my mission in life, really, my primary mission, my primary vocation, to try to help someone else. You know, I'm not by any means a star at that. I do my best. I share my experience in my disease, my experience in working the steps, my experience with this amazing meeting that has helped me so much. And people take what they like and they leave the rest, and there's nothing I can do about that. I have no control over other people, but I do have some amount of control over myself. And it's great to be reminded that this is my primary purpose. You know, life gets busy. Yes, it does. But if I neglect this calling that God has given me, God gave me my disease so that I can do this work, I risk relapse. There's no question about it. The Big Book tells me that over and over again. And it's incredibly fulfilling to be able to help someone out of the quagmire, the pit that is compulsive eating. What could be more rewarding than that? Really. We have a wonderful pamphlet in OA called If God Spoke to OA, and it says just that. We are uniquely qualified, we are uniquely called to help another compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful for that calling today. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. Next, we have Laurie T. in California. Good morning, Laurie.
Hi, I'm Laurie, a compulsive overeater, bulimic, recovered for almost 60 days, and I have been struggling with this program for many, many years. And I don't, you know, I have a friend who has over 40 years of OA abstinence, and for whatever reason, I don't remember anyone trying to promote this program to me to go to OA. And I know we're, you know, a program of attraction rather than promotion, but I don't think it would have mattered anyway, because I was more of a periodic than I was a daily compulsive overeater, bulimic. And so I always thought I had control, that I could go for weeks, sometimes at a time, and not be in my disease. And so I thought, you know, when it gets bad enough, but the older I got, the more I worried about actually dying from this disease, because bulimia is a very serious condition, and I don't want my family finding my head in the toilet from a ruptured esophagus or choking on my own food. And God, by God's grace, I have not had any serious issues from my bulimia, at least yet. I'm 62, and I started throwing up. My friend taught me to throw up at age 17. So I've been periodic on and off. So I'm really grateful for my recovery. And I have another friend that's about 40 years in this program, in another program, and she's always trying to get abstinent, and she's amazed. She, like, checks in with me every week now that I, you know, had, woohoo, you know, almost 60 days. But it's a lot when you can't get out of the food and can't get out of your obsession. 60 days feels like a lot, almost 60, you know, a lot to me. But I'm not focused on wanting to eat, and it's not preoccupying my mind anymore. I have more clarity. And I have a really good sponsor that helps me through everything, and prayer partner, and I'm doing the work. Even though sometimes I don't feel like it, you know, it helps me feel connected. And I think my disease was really about lack of connecting to other people. And so, you know, I would isolate a lot, but now that I have a vision and wisdom just from this program through all the years I've been here, it's all sort of coming up front. But yeah, I've never thought of promoting this program, but all the time at my other meetings I go to, and I'm standing around cake and cookies, you know, and all this crap, and people are like, don't you want a piece of cake? They're like cutting me a piece of cake, and I'm like, no, I don't want, you know. And I have to go out to lunch with them afterwards. They're like, is that all you're going to have? Like, we go to a sushi place a lot, and all I have is that plain edamame. And it looks like I'm trying
That's
to start
That's time, Laurie.
Okay, thank you for listening. Thanks for your service. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks. That was Laurie T. in California. Next, we have Laura W. in Chicago. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Midwest. I love that we're talking about this. It really struck me this morning because on Saturdays, I go to my original in-person meeting. It's a very, very old meeting, and it's a very, very small meeting. We usually have under 10 people. It's both virtual and in-person, usually like 5 or 6 in-person, 3 or 4 online. And we have a couple people that are really long-timers, and they still go about the meeting the old way, like when I first came in. I think how a lot of people did it in 2010, it was more of a support group. And we're trying to make it a stronger meeting to get more people interested. But we have a person who loves to go on and on about the problems with her son and other people in her life now that she's a recovered bulimic. And she's a wonderful person. But our leader this Saturday stopped her mid-share and asked her to please finish up her thought, but go back to how the program helps her rather than what is wrong with her son and his wife and other people. And it was so uncomfortable, but it was so necessary because we lose people when we don't follow the simple format and rules and traditions. And she must have talked to this member earlier, because as soon as she said something, this person said, okay, let me just finish my thought and then I'll move on. And she did a great job, but it was so awkward for me. And I think, could I do that? I'm newly recovered after a relapse. I've learned so much having been recovered and then relapsing during COVID. I'm such a stronger person, but I see how much I have to go. And that's why it's forever. I just got to stay in this program and keep doing it and helping others to the best of my ability. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura W. in Chicago. Okay, last chance. We have time for one more share. First voice I hear gets it. Who would like to share on this paragraph on page 90, third paragraph?
Sue L., Seattle.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Hi, friends. Sue in Seattle. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is a really great paragraph for me. I've been listening to Vision for You for how much, you know, almost every day for 7 months, but I've been afraid to really talk and had really sketchy abstinence. And then 8 days ago, I went to my friend. She rented a house for a birthday party and had 20 people there. And I had a binge that I had, and I hadn't binged like that in a long time. And afterwards, it was just the most terrifying experience, you know. So this is just sometimes wait, it's wise to wait until he goes on a binge. Yeah, because when I realized, like, I was a zombie eating food and, like, not present, and, like, I'm just ashamed to think of what I looked like at this party. Like, everybody else was interacting, and I was eating, like a bad binge. And I haven't done it in a long time. And so anyway, I think that, you know, something snapped inside of me, and I'm lucky to be starting with a new sponsor. I have 8 days of recovery. I'm clinging onto my higher power like I never have before. I seem to be given grace each day. Like, somehow I feel that there's a power helping me one day at a time. And then this chapter where it says, let them know that this person is recovered. It's like if there's a chance, like if everybody else can do this, if I do the work, I believe for the first time I can be recovered. So just grateful for everybody being on this call and sharing your recovery with me. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. And we probably have a minute and a half, so you get another chance here. Who would like to take the last minute and a half? Anybody? Okay. It's actually 7:47. Okay, you've got 1 minute, Cheryl. Sorry.
Okay, go it's ahead. Actually Carol D. in Tulsa.
Carol,
and
sorry. Apologies.
That's okay. That's okay. Thank you so much for just trying to hear the names we put out there. But so this is such a great paragraph. I had a year and a half of recovery because I was following somebody's instructions, but I was never convinced that I needed to give up the sugar. And I finally went out and tried a little bit more controlled sugar eating. And I'm now just so grateful to finally be at a place that I am totally convinced, and where I'm working with a sponsor, going through the steps, and just did my fifth step and finished it yesterday. So I'm just so grateful. Thank you for this meeting, and thank you for all who participate and share, because you are saving my life.
Thank you, Carol, so much. So let's quickly thank Team Monday, Luann, Robin P., Alex K., Larry G., Chanel, who's standing in for Larry this morning, Shelley E., Liz S., Lee Long P., and everyone else for being here. All right, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Robin, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, soon to be in Houston, Texas. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until